This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern day wrestling. Modern day flamethrower, known as WWE. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. We are at episode 70, which I have to say is pretty impressive considering one of the best shows we've ever had here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network feed has ended its incredible 70, I think it's 77 episode journey. We talked a lot about this on Monday's Place to Be podcast. That is, of course, the Titans of Wrestling. We had Kelly Nelson on the show. And it's a great show. And I'll get more into it after the break. But there's no better show when it comes to that early 80s WWF that you may forget about than right now. So I highly recommend it. Again, a 77 episode run that was very, very impressive. So, all right. Tonight, though, is two-pronged. We're going to talk, obviously, about what's going on this week in WWE in terms of Raw and, of course, SmackDown Live. We will also talk about something that we talked about 2 weeks ago on the show last time, but we really didn't touch on in great detail, but we're going to do it tonight, and I'm going to surprise my two guests when they come on, which I'm going to do right now. First guest, this is his second appearance on the Main Event. He is a multi-talented performer here on Place to Be Nation. He's been on the website, wrote some great articles. He's been on a few of our podcasts. Mr. Andy Helene. Andy, welcome back to Main Event.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, always a pleasure. It's good to have you on. It's been a while. And you, my friend, are in for a huge treat, because anytime I have this guy on, people line up and spend their own fuck money to come on the show. He is multi-talented. He's on a million shows, and they're all awesome, including, of course, our compendium show here every other week, Clotheslines and Headlines. He is the Godfather, Nate Milton.
What is going on, Brother Criscolo? I'm glad you mentioned CNH, because I got my calendar mixed up, and so I showed up expecting to see JR and Steve Willie and maybe even Glenn, and what do I see but you and Andy? But since I'm here, we might as well have some fun and talk some wrestling.
You're on so many shows, you don't even know what the hell your Skype looks like.
I just show up. I'm like Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined, boss.
Hell, you're much better. You don't look like a caved-in ashtray like Marshawn Lynch. So anyway, Godfather, always a pleasure, brother. So, guys, segment one, we're going to talk about this past week, as we are a little too far out from Fastlane to do a full-length preview. I know, Nate, you guys next week on CNH will do an official preview of Fastlane next Sunday. And then I'll be back in 2 weeks with a gentleman who's actually going to Fastlane, and we'll have a full recap of the show in 2 weeks. And then the second segment, guys, I'll have you start getting your brains working now. 2 weeks ago on our last show, Mr. Reish and Mr. Crosland and I, in episode 69, yes, the episode we should have had D'Amato on, kind of went back in the history books a little bit and talked about the history of great February pay-per-views. Well, tonight, guys, we're going to go back through history anyway, but this time we're going to be very more detailed. We're going to go back, starting with the first year that there were two pay-per-views in a month, and we're going to grade them. Not grade them, but we're going to do a check. We're going to check some balance and vote which promotion had the better February pay-per-view. And we're going to go from 1996, which is, of course, the first year that there were two, all the way to last year, if we can. And, of course, WWE will be very consistent. And then, and this is why I wanted you on tonight, Nate, because you are the master of all things TNA. Not there's many that are. You're kind of alone. No, I'm only kidding. We're going to obviously compare with WCW, and then when WCW screwed the pooch, we will go into TNA. Because there probably were some years where, admittedly, TNA may not actually have been as bad for a one-month show as WWE was. Because there were some February pay-per-views in, you know, between 2008 and 2013 that probably weren't that great. So maybe TNA had a puncher's chance. In any event, we're going to go with that later on in the show. All right, let's talk this week in WWE. Of course, a lot of deaths going into the week, which is very sad. Four of them to talk about. The first one, of course, Chavo Classic, which happened, a week and a half ago. And then the more tragic one, I believe she has officially passed away now. I know her friend jumped the gun. She was technically brain dead, but not officially dead, but I believe she has officially passed away, and that is Nicole Bass. Then, over the weekend, the death of George the Animal Steele, and Raw Monday Night did a nice little piece on him. And then the shocking one, and I mentioned it to Kelly Monday night on the Place Be podcast, because the guys on Titans did an interview with him, and that is Ivan Koloff. Nate, wow, that's a tough four-person run there, particularly Nicole Bass, who was only 52.
Yeah, and then it's kind of something that we haven't had to deal with for a while. You know, we had a couple big losses last year, and then things got a little bit quiet. But it's nowhere near kind of the, I don't want to go as far as to say epidemic, but nowhere near as far as the regularity as it was maybe in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. when you saw a lot of guys, you know, with the enlarged hearts and you know the steroids and all of that stuff kind of playing into their early demises.
Right.
But when you talk about these four individuals, man, it's sad as death, you know, always is. But for me personally, I think the one that maybe hit home the most was the loss of Ivan Koloff. And it's just, you know, from a selfish perspective, having a chance back in 2014 to have talked to the guy and interviewed the guy and just as fierce as he was, you know, heels of his era, he was just that much more kind and generous with his time. You know, he didn't know me or my partners did the interview from a hole in the wall, but he was gracious with his time. And, you know, you kind of link a lot of current day people to that template that he and others like him set up. You know, Rusev comes to mind first and foremost of that kind of Soviet heel or that Russian heel. And Ivan Koloff was one of the best to ever do that gimmick.
There's no question. And, I mean, he kind of galvanized those two younger guys in the Crockett days, Nikita and Crusher Khrushchev. Andy, talk about Chavo Classic, because here's a guy who not many people really knew about except in 2004 when he lost to Jacqueline. But here was a guy who was, you know, pretty integral in the growth of the Guerrero family. Because a lot of people may not know Eddie's dad or whatever, but of course Eddie is the centerpiece of that family, as well as Chavo, I suppose, little Chavo. But how much Chavo Classic do you remember? Pretty much just that. Did you ever watch any of the older stuff?
No. I only know the stuff from SmackDown when he was Chavo Classic.
Mm-hmm. Not many people do. It's kind of tough to see some of the older stuff. He was a lot in Crockett in the mid '80s. He was in maybe Memphis, Nate.
Yeah, he was. I think it's weird because, you know, a lot of people have been posting or publishing various kind of obituaries on Chavo Classic the last week or so, and it almost feels like he was a guy that was ahead of his time, and probably should have been a more known star than he ended up being, even though he was very influential. But it's like, man, like when you hear about what this guy was doing back in the 70s and in the 80s, it's like, man, like I wonder if we had the technology now that we did back then that we do now, if, you know, guys like Chavo Sr. would be somebody that maybe gets a little bit more respect, a little bit more props, besides, you know, just being the guy that was out there during the Chavo Classic run in the WWE, or even last year, I believe, with Lucha Underground.
Right, exactly. And then Nicole Bass is just so sad because, again, 52 years old, she had a match. It wasn't anything wrestling-related. It wasn't anything steroid-related, believe it or not. Apparently she had a stroke, and it just debilitated her, and just organs started to shut down. That was really sad. And then the one that obviously WWE really, you know, promoted because he's a Hall of Famer and he's, you know, he's a guy that most people remember is obviously George the Animal Steele. I know my PIC has trashed the guy in our a lot of our written pieces, but I mean, in reality, he's a guy that's a legend. There's actually, I guess it's in one of the lost, one of the hidden gems collections on the network. I guess he had a cage match for the world title against Bruno in sometime in 1970, I think. And but here's a guy who kind of epitomized the crazy heel of the 70s and then became the lovable dope in the 80s. Andy, do you remember, do you have any remembrance of George Animal Steele or anything you've watched?
The thing that stands out the most to me is, like, I think it was on one of those best of the WWF volumes, you know, those tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Was somewhat like shock therapy, and he was like, "How now, brown cow?"
Or, oh yeah, that was a TNT piece. Yeah, it was TNT. How now, brown cow? It's very funny. It was actually a great one of the few great George Animal Steele pieces on TNT. Because honestly, there's not a lot of them. So anyway, rest in peace for great superstars of the era, varying eras, obviously. Chavo Guerrero Sr., Chavo Classic, Nicole Bass, George the Animal Steele, and Ivan Koloff. Rest in peace, all of you. All right, so this past few days in WWE, of course, we've had the two big shows of the week, which is Raw Monday night and, of course, SmackDown Live last night as we're taping on our usual Wednesday. One thing I want to compare about the two, incidentally, Brian Bayless, who, of course, writes the great weekly Raw recaps that you see on PlaceBeNation.com, and they're fantastic. He's doing like a scoreboard of which show does better since the split started. I think there's 31 weeks so far, and he has it SmackDown 19, Raw 12. Andy, would you say that's, in your estimation, based on what you've watched, would you have that about right, or would you have the score differently?
Well, if you had asked me on the show about, I don't know, like 6 months ago, I wouldn't be up to date. But the last couple weeks that I've seen, you know, like with WrestleMania season, that's when I kind of really get into it. I would say that SmackDown's ahead.
Okay. Is Brian's gap, he's got it about seven. Would you think it's wider, about right? What do you think? Has Raw been the better show for 12 weeks? Now, he doesn't specify, I can't specify which ones were better, but... In your opinion, has there been 12 weeks where Raw was better, or is there more or less?
Honestly, to me, guys, I think Raw has had maybe the better moments, and I'm thinking of, you know, Bill Goldberg. I'm thinking of the Jericho and Chris Owens, the Jericho Kevin Owens Friendship Festival from a week ago. So I think they've had the better moments, but in terms of what's been the better show overall week to week, I don't even think it's that close between the two brands. I think I'd probably have SmackDown winning 25 weeks out of the 31.
Wow. Okay. I have to say that I think that Raw has gotten a little bit better over the last few weeks. SmackDown, I could also tell you that I don't think SmackDown has had an atrocious show. It's taken a great Raw show if it's going to surpass SmackDown. It hasn't been a week where Raw was mediocre and SmackDown was terrible. Usually it's, you know, if Raw was a better show, Raw out of 10 was maybe an 8 and SmackDown was a 7. On the other hand, if SmackDown's had a great show, Raw's usually had a stinker. So, but I watched the two shows this week, and I want your guys' opinions as we head into Fastlane and into WrestleMania. Let's talk about the women's divisions for a minute. Because the one moment that stuck out on Talking Smack, I know, Nate, you had said you had a chance to see it. And overall, Talking Smack was fine this week, but it wasn't like can't miss. I mean, it was okay. But he said he told Mick Foley to suck it, Daniel Bryan did, because he thought that his women's segments were better than Raw's. Now, we all know what happened last week on Raw. This week, Stephanie McMahon tried to... goad Bayley into giving up the Raw Women's title, because she won it last week thanks to Sasha Banks's crutch shot to the face or wherever she hit her. Hit her in the boobs or I don't know what she hit her in. It was weird, like from the angle, you know where she hit her. Hit her in the cleavage or in the face. I don't know what the hell she hit her in, but anyway. And then, of course, it didn't happen. She wouldn't do it. And then Charlotte came out and said, you're going to do that. And Sasha said no. And then they decided to have Sasha versus Charlotte and everything else. Same thing happened, almost happened on Tuesday, except it actually happened. Naomi has a legitimate knee injury, so she had to relinquish the SmackDown Women's Championship. Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch had a match to determine the new champion. Alexa Bliss won it back after losing it at Elimination Chamber. Nate, even though this is my opinion, tell me if you agree with me or you think I'm crazy.
All right.
Raw probably has the higher, the shinier stars on SmackDown, on Raw. Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley. But I think SmackDown has had the more well-balanced segments and storylines so far. I feel like they've used more people. They had three matches at Elimination Chamber. Three! And then last night, they had Alexa. You had the whole segment with Becky, with Naomi. Then you had the match itself. Then you had two segments of the Natalya Nikki Bella match, which had the Maryse interference, which we'll get to in a minute, which obviously is leading to something. So am I crazy that even though Raw has maybe the shinier stars, SmackDown has the better women's television?
No, that's exactly right. I think it's, you know, to use a sports analogy, Raw is the conference with the power teams, but they're top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas SmackDown, you might not have that one standout star, but it's a solid conference top to bottom. And so, you know, when we see what went down on Raw, I think, yes, while I'm a fan of Bayley, I'm a fan of Charlotte, I'm a fan of Sasha Banks, and everybody that's listening out there in Place to Be Nation knows I'm a fan of Nia Jax. But it's night and day when you compare it to what went down on SmackDown. And I think a key word that you used when you were giving that recap, Scott, is legitimate when you're talking about Naomi.
Right.
And that segment just felt so much more authentic than what went down with Bayley in a very similar segment the night before, which I don't know if I would have gone ahead and did the Bayley segment knowing that you were going to do the same thing the next night. But that's neither here nor there. But just seeing Naomi's reactions and seeing Daniel Bryan as somebody that could actually relate to what she was going through, I thought that came across so much better. And it transferred the heat to Alexa when she ended up winning back the belt. And so with SmackDown, you might not have the top of the line wrestlers, but I think the stories are better. I think the characters are more well-defined. And on Raw, yeah, you got Sasha and Charlotte and Bayley and Nia, but at the end of the day, it's a very, very shallow pool in terms of your women.
So in other words, Raw has Duke, Carolina, and Wake Forest, whereas SmackDown has Creighton, Providence, Villanova. Don't say Georgetown. They lost to DePaul tonight. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Put a gun in my mouth. Reese tries to keep me off the ledge, but it's very hard to. Andy, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with Nate's my assessment? Do you think differently? What do you think of the differences between the women's divisions on the two shows?
I was actually going to say the same thing. It kind of feels like 2002 when they did the draft, and they loaded up Raw with all the stars, and then SmackDown ended up having the SmackDown 6, except now it's a SmackDown 6 with women.
You know, that's a great idea. I mean, first of all, like you love Nia Jax, Nate, I am a gigantic Becky Lynch fan. I have no problem kicking lass. And I have nothing against Charlotte or Sasha or Bayley. I mean, Steve Willey has kind of turned me on her, but I used to not be the biggest Bayley fan when she was in NXT, but she's grown on me. But There just seems to be so much more balance. The Bellas, as much as I don't want to get, well, Nikki, I guess Bree's not around anymore, but as much as I don't want to give her credit, Nikki being there helps because she doesn't have to be in the title picture to be high profile. And I tell you something, if they were doing these booking meetings about how to go forward with this feud, they've given Natalya carte blanche. She's almost maybe to a less, to a much lesser extent, like Shawn Michaels, 1997, talking about, you know, she doesn't have a lot of wrestling talent and she's got silicone fakeness, silicone charisma or whatever. I mean, the promo she cut Tuesday night was pretty to the bone. And Nikki's delivery is mediocre at best. But I tell you, it was a fun match to watch. I enjoyed it. Now, Maryse, of course, got involved. I don't know what you both guys thought. Andy, what did you think of Maryse smack with that pipe? You could tell that pipe was made of paper mache or plastic or something, whatever the hell that was. She was winging that thing around like it was like Babe Ruth with a 36-inch bat. I mean, it was crazy, right?
Yeah.
She was a little too much. It wasn't like Taker and Hogan with the pipe and the bike in the motorcycle. Nate, looking ahead, and we got a lot to obviously coming up, but if you were, it's post-Mania, regardless of who has the belts, let's just say for argument purposes, okay, that Bayley and Becky have the belts after Mania. Let's just go there. So they're untradeable. How would you shake up the women's division on the two shows come draft time? Or would you? Do you like the way it is now? But let's just say Becky, we'll just for argument's sake, say Becky and Bayley are untouchable because they have the belts.
I don't know if I would shake it up. I think if anything, Raw probably needs more depth. And I don't know if that would mean following SmackDown's lead and taking a page out of their book and maybe bringing back another veteran like they've done with Mickie James. But I think Asuka sooner or later has got to come up, and I'd bring her up to Raw to give them some more depth and give mm-hmm. them a bit of a change of character.
All right, let's talk about Asuka for a minute, because I was about to ask that. I'm glad you brought her up. I was going to mention her anyway. Are you really making it top heavy now? Now, like you said, it's like there's Duke, there's Carolina, and now you're going to bring in Gonzaga, we'll say, because she's obviously at the NXT and she's coming up. Are you even making it even more top heavy now? I think my personal opinion, if you bring up Asuka, somebody's got to go to SmackDown. I think Nia Jax will end up on SmackDown, because I think of Nia Jax. Here's a problem. Nia Jax is swallowed up by these top heavy. You know who Nia Jax is? Nia Jax is, you keep using the ACC. Nia Jax is Notre Dame. Really good, but not Duke Carolina level in the ACC. But if you put Nia Jax on SmackDown, now you've got her chucking Becky around and chucking Naomi around and kind of being maybe this little heel faction with Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, you know, kind of thing. So if you're going to bring Asuka, my opinion, you bring Asuka to Raw, I think Nia Jax has to go to SmackDown. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
That's not a bad idea. I do think that, SmackDown's got to get something, but I think the thing with Raw, and maybe it's not an Asuka, maybe it's a couple veterans, but I think Raw needs bodies. It's almost like the inversion of the male roster, because on SmackDown, I think the guys, they need more bodies. Because I still think, even though the roster's talented, I still think they're a little thin. So I think they could use, you know, maybe two or three more quality guys on that roster for the men on SmackDown. Whereas with Raw, when you're talking about the women's division, let's say we give them Asuka and we send Nia Jax to SmackDown, you're still kind of stuck with the same problem where you've got four great workers that can only really work with each other. So I think you need at least two more women
right.
to make the Raw. And I know I'm throwing shade here on Dana Brooke and Emelina or whatever the hell she's going to be if she ever comes back. But they need more people. Like, it's like the Jay-Z song, "We Don't Believe You." You need more people.
What the hell happened? What was that all about anyway?
I don't know, man. Like I thought it was hilarious that she just came out and was like, okay, yeah, so I'm gonna go back and do the thing that I just switched from. But it's very funny. Like, and then the other thing is, people have been comparing it to what SmackDown was doing with Eva Marie, and it's night and day, because people actually cared about Eva Marie in the sense that they wanted to boo her out of the building. Nobody gives a damn about Emma.
Well, she's hot. I mean, she's hot on Twitter. That's about the extent of it. And Instagram. That's about the extent of it. Andy, if you were booking, if you were doing the draft, and again, Bayley and Becky are your champions, and they don't move, what would you do?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I'd send, Asuka over to Raw too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I would move. This is what I would do. And we'll talk more about this over the coming months, particularly after Mania, because the draft's not till what? Didn't they say when the draft's going to be? Probably not till June. I would say, if we were doing it right now, I would move Nia Jax to SmackDown. I would move like one of these low-level jobbers, maybe I don't know, maybe Natalya to Raw. Although maybe they're leaning towards Natalya eventually winning the SmackDown Women's Belt. Maybe the whole beating Nikki is leading towards winning the title down the line, perhaps. We'll see. But
I can see that.
You know, we'll see.
Well, you also got another thing in the mix whenever Naomi comes back, because I think she has been on a pretty hot little streak lately, and so does she immediately jump back into the title picture? And if so, do you really need extra bodies on SmackDown?
That is true. That is true. Because I don't see any other women leaving NXT, because my girl, oh my God, maybe my favorite, well, next to Becky, probably my favorite women's wrestler on the entire, all three rosters, is Ember Moon. Love Ember Moon. I mean, come on, a top rope stunner? Holy shit! And she hasn't killed anybody. And she hasn't killed anybody yet. You know what I'm saying? So I'm incredibly pumped to see her eventually win the women's belt on NXT. All right, let's talk about Braun Strowman for a minute. I actually like the guy, believe it or not. I actually like Braun Strowman. I like the Haas match with Big Show. He's in good shape. I think he's a workable guy. Andy, what do you think of Braun Strowman?
I guess I didn't like him until the Royal Rumble, and I started coming around on him.
Mm. What was it that nobody liked? What do you think it was, Andy? That people are.
It was just, I didn't like how he was just another big guy. Like, they always like to push the big guys. And I thought the Wyatts kind of worked well on their own. They didn't need another guy like that.
Mm. Nate, do you like Strowman?
Yeah, he was kind of like Oliver on the Brady Bunch, you dude. but man, Braun Strowman is
that's a good one.
Braun Strowman is so. I've got issues with Braun Strowman, like, and it's nothing personal with the dude because obviously he works very hard. But I didn't like him when he first came in. I thought, he was kind of unnecessary because they had a guy in Eric Rowan that they weren't doing a whole hell of a lot with. So why are we bringing in this extra guy that we're not really going to do a whole hell of a lot with? But B, like, I get into debates from time to time when I feel like it and when I've got time and alcohol on my hands and I feel like I feel like engaging with the listeners. People will ask me from time to time, you know, questions about, you know, why this cruiserweight or that cruiserweight didn't get over, why this woman didn't get over, why this minority didn't get over. And so when I look at somebody like Braun Strowman, it's like there should never be any reason other than a guy or girl just doesn't get it why you cannot buy somebody as a believable talent. Because Braun Strowman, if you look at him, other than his size, I'm talking about at the very beginning, other than his size, there wasn't a lot to really differentiate him in the ring. But what they've done is they did a really good job of building the guy, and they invested time in the guy. They made this guy look like a world beater. They gave him the big spots at the Survivor Series. They had him kill Sami Zayn. The squash matches were effective. So they put time into the guy. So it's like you can't tell me that you can't invest time in somebody and anybody can get over if properly promoted. And so I'm not a huge fan of Braun Strowman, but I am liking him more than I was when he first came in. And that match with the Big Show was a pretty solid big man match. And so I think he's doing really well with what they've been doing for him. And my only concern for Braun, though, is does he get to a point where he kind of outkicks his coverage or he kind of goes out in the deep end when he really should kind of be more in the, if not the shallow end, the middle of the pool?
Okay. I'm curious to see what happens next Sunday in Milwaukee when he faces Roman Reigns. I don't see Roman Reigns winning. I see either Braun winning, or I see it ending in some kind of double schmoz where they brawl out to the floor or some, you know, out to the crowd, or they both knock each other out or some kind of nonsense. I don't see that ending clean. Just my opinion. The title picture is pretty clear on Raw. We have Kevin Owens and Goldberg at Fastlane. I could see something involving Brock Lesnar. Philosophically, you would think he's rooting for Goldberg because he wants their match to be a title match April 2nd. Most people don't want it a title match. I don't think most people are going to get what they want, but I can't see philosophically Brock Lesnar being... Let's put it this way, Andy, if they painted themselves into a corner with this, because on the one hand, you could see just simple Brock costing Goldberg the title at Fastlane, or obviously you can see... You can obviously see... I just lost my train of thought. Jericho, obviously coming back and costing Owens the title. Is Brock even show up at Fastlane? What, if you ask me now, what do you think the scenario will be that night for that Goldberg-Kevin Owens match?
Well, it seems like the Goldberg match doesn't need a belt because it's already got enough hype on it. But now that you mentioned Jericho, I think like that's probably what they'll do. They'll probably have Jericho cost Owens his belt.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nate, do you think they painted them? Let me ask you the same question. Have they painted themselves into a corner? Because question is, we don't know who Owens is facing at WrestleMania. Well, we do. The question is it going to be a title match? Where will the belt lie? If you ask me now, where will the belt lie at WrestleMania?
I think it's going to be on the waist of Bill Goldberg. Now, and I don't think they painted themselves into a corner because I think this is where they wanted to go once they saw the initial reaction to Goldberg. And once they saw that match at Survivor Series, I think they were solidly on that Goldberg train. And so, yeah, I think this is the plan they've had for a couple months now. And so in terms of Fastlane, I could easily see a situation where Jericho comes back and costs his former friend. And your man Bill Goldberg is headlining WrestleMania in maybe one of the more improbable events. Like, this is a Goldberg-Lesnar match at WrestleMania that the fans are actually going to be into.
Mm-hmm. So you think, you're kind of looking against conventional wisdom right now, and you think that a Goldberg-Lesnar title match actually will be something people want to see?
I do. I think that they've kept Bill Goldberg protected, and I think they'll do the same thing at Fastlane in the match with Kevin Owens. I think they'll do their best to protect Bill. And I think he's still got enough novelty in him that he can easily, you know, carry that belt to WrestleMania. After WrestleMania, though, you know, all bets are off, whether they put the belt on Brock or whether they, you know, somebody else comes up and gets it from Bill. But I think in terms of maximizing eyes and filling stadiums, which at the end of the day is what WrestleMania is all about, as opposed to maybe some of the other pay-per-views. WrestleMania is now something where we want to sell out these arenas. We want to sell out these stadiums. We want to have our Sports Center moment since we're now in bed with ESPN.
Yeah.
So what makes a better story for the guy to come on Sunday or Monday, the day after WrestleMania, and talk to Jonathan Coachman? Is it Kevin Owens or is it Brock Lesnar? And I think, Bill Goldberg, and I think it's Bill Goldberg.
Interesting. Where do you think the belt will lie, Andy? Do you think Brock and Goldberg too?
Yeah, like it seems like that's probably what they'll do because it's weird. Like when Goldberg was here, what was it? In like 2003, it's like they didn't handle it real well, and now they are actually getting the Goldberg thing the way he's supposed to be, squashing people.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's like they now realize what they had. And fortunately, Bill's still at least in good shape enough to do it. But it's like, man, you guys could have had this and more if you had done right by him the first time he was in the company.
Right. Yeah, that was a big mess. I think that might be something that might be a topic we get into later on in the next few episodes of Main Event. We will have a full that Wednesday before, by the way, even though it's a Clotheslines and Headlines week, Nate. that will, you know, because, you know, it's the week of WrestleMania. I think all the heavyweights here at Place to Be Nation should be on. So we're going to have a Clotheslines and Headlines and a main event that week. And we're going to load up here. So maybe we'll do a little crossover. Maybe I'll come on. I haven't been on Clotheslines and Headlines yet. I'm being held back. And now, speaking of Clotheslines and Headlines, I know you guys next week.
Damn you, Steve Willie.
Damn you, Steve Willie, holding me back. speaking of Steve Willie, you, JR, and the guys, you'll be previewing Fastlane next week on Clotheslines and Headlines. And then I'll be back, main event the week after, to recap Fastlane. And I'll actually have someone on who's going to the Bradley Center in Milwaukee. Boy, big shock. Who am I talking about? Anyway, obviously we have another week of programming, and then we are in Milwaukee a week from Sunday, March the 5th. All right, guys, great segment so far. You guys are awesome, as always. We'll take a break here on main event. When we return, we'll dive into the history books, and we're going to have a little fun. We kind of broached the surface when I had Logan Crosland and Andrew Reich on last episode about the history of the February pay-per-view. Well, we're going to go even deeper than that and grade or choose which, year by year, which promotions had the best pay-per-view in February of that year. So WWE is going to go up against not one, but two promotions in different eras. We shall see. Scott Criscolo, Andy Helene, The Godfather, Nate Milton. More main event after this. Virgil would have said because. For $20, of course.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now it will be known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favourite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
No sleep till! Brooklyn!
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode 70 of the main event. Scott Criscolo, Andy Helene, the Godfather Nate Milton. Great first segment, guys, and then we're going to dive into the history books in a moment. But first, PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The most recent installment of Place to Be Nation's excellent WWE Network adventure, the June 20th, 1985 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. You know how that works. We watch it, we critique it, we make fun of it, and we give you a grade for it. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy it very much. So check out the newest installment. I talked at the beginning of the show about our guest on the Place to Be podcast Monday, Kelly Nelson. As you know, Kelly is a fantastic podcaster and a good guy, and has been on many shows. But of course, his big show is now ending, and that is, of course, the Great Titans of Wrestling, which had a nice, I believe, 77-episode run. It might be 78, actually. Well, Brad Woodling did a great piece, kind of a reflection piece on the legacy of Titans of Wrestling. He called it Remember the Titans. Keep your mouth shut, Nate. And the inside joke. But it was a fantastic piece. I highly recommend it. Of course, for those that may not know, Titans of Wrestling was, for the most part, a snapshot weekly, I think it was weekly, snapshot, bi-weekly, I think, of the World Wrestling Federation during the meat and potatoes of Bob Backlund's WWF Championship run. So pretty much from 1979 to 1983. And but they bounced around. They did some Mid-South, I think, some Memphis, some Stampede. Oh, God, what else? They had some great interviews. Matter of fact, they had Ivan Koloff on for an interview. Just a tremendous show. And Brad did a great kind of reflection piece on it. And as I mentioned, every single episode of Titans of Wrestling is on the is in the archive here on PlaceToBeNation.com. So please check it out. It's a tremendous show. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday Walk Around the Web. A network special podcast popped up this week. Hot Takes on Cold Issues. It's a network special. My PIC, Mr. Rosero, along with Scott Keith and James Dixon, as well as Jordan Duncan, took some time to talk about some issues that have kind of hit the deep freeze that have been talked about a lot, or maybe been talked to death, but maybe some fresh takes on it. They talked about Montreal. They talked about the invasion and Roman Reigns' push. So check it out. The PTBN Network special, Hot Takes on Cold Issues. Very good show. Another great podcast, the NWA On Demand podcast, Space City. Pete and Johnny discuss the week of uploads of NWAOnDemand.com, Ivan Koloff promo, Ivan Putski versus Bull Ramos. Really? And much, much more. So check it out, the newest episode of NWA On Demand podcast, Space City, Pete and Johnny. Seinfeld, the PTBN series rewatch, The Pothole, Season 8, Episode 16. Check that out. JR and I with our Vintage Vault Refresh, the July 11th, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw. Mr. Helene, do you remember the legendary match that took place on that episode?
Oh, yeah. It was Bret Hart and the 1-2-3 Kid.
Absolutely. Tremendous world title match. Nate, thoughts on it?
I'm going to plead the fifth because, yeah. Technology.
Oh, God. All right. Well, we'll talk about that at the end of the show, why he said that. But anyway, check out the newest installment of JR's and my Vintage Vault Refresh, the July 11th, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw. Mr. Bayless has your Raw rundown for Monday night. And as I mentioned, the most recent episode of the Place to Be podcast, episode 438, the August 10th, 1985 MSG House Show Vault Refresh with Kelly Nelson. So please check that out. Also on PlaceToBeNation.com, go to the right of the screen. You can check out our ebook publications, all of them. They're fantastic. Go to Amazon.com. Use any gift cards you got, anything you got. Buy anything, and we get a little taste of it to help run the site. And again, all of our great Place to Be Nation podcasts. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys. Now for the fun. Two weeks ago on our last episode of the main event, myself, Andrew Reich, and Logan Crosland, we kind of scratched the surface of the history of the February pay-per-view. And we kind of went through and kind of browsed over some of the shows. Well, tonight, we're going to take it a step further. We're going to go year by year, starting with the years that had two February pay-per-views, and we're going to do a checklist of who had the better month. And because I was going to grab, I was going to do it on a Google Sheet, but I'm going to try not to do that. So, Mr. Milton, I don't know if you're ever asked to do anything on Clotheslines and Headlines, or if you just show up because of your effervescent personality, but or if you actually have a task. But would you mind keeping score for me, for us, sir?
No problem. I think I can manage that.
All right. So
I'll be the court stenographer, if you will.
Yes, that is correct. Yes. All right. Now, the first ever February pay-per-view, official pay-per-view. I'm talking about the big three. The official pay-per-view was actually one of the best, probably one of the best shows ever. And that was Chi-Town Rumble way back on February 20th, 1989. Great show. Of course, the main event was the first of the trilogy between Ricky the Dragon Steamboat and the Nature Boy Ric Flair for the NWA World title. Also on that show, I believe Barry Windham and Luger had a... was Barry Windham and Luger had a U.S. title match? Is that the one? I think that's the one where Barry Windham broke his hand, if I remember correctly. Then 1990 was a Wrestle War, Flair Luger for the world title. Then Wrestle War 91 in Phoenix. That was the War Games match where Sid almost broke Brian Pillman's neck. Then February 92, another great show, Super Brawl 2. That was Luger versus Sting. Another tremendous show. Super Brawl 3 in 93, Vader versus Sting. They flew solo. Super Brawl 4 in 94, Flair versus Vader. And then Super Brawl 5 in 95, Hogan versus Vader in Baltimore. All right, now we have our first competition. All right, gentlemen. WWE did their first foray into pay-per-view in February on February, I want to make sure I have the date correct, February 18th, 1996, with In Your House 6 from the Louisville Gardens in Louisville, Kentucky. If you remember that show, gentlemen, that, of course, main event was Bret Hart defending the World Wrestling Federation title against Diesel in a cage. Remember, that was the one where Undertaker came out from under the ring. Here's the card real quick. All right. We'll just do the matches that are... because, of course, these used to be the Coliseum video days where they had a bunch of extras. But this was the proper card. Razor Ramon defeated 1-2-3 Kid. Hunter Hearst Helmsley defeated Duke Droese. Yokozuna defeated the British Bulldog by DQ. Shawn Michaels defeated Owen Hart for the number one contender spot. And Bret Hart defeated Diesel in the cage. That went up against Super Brawl 6, which took place in St. Petersburg. Your card. Nasty Boys defeated the Public Enemy in a street fight. Johnny B. Badd defeated Diamond Dallas Page for the television title. Sting and Lex Luger defeated Harlem Heat for the tag titles. Conan defeated One Man Gang for the U.S. title. Taskmaster defeated Brian Pillman. That was, of course, the infamous, "I respect you, Booker Man." Arn Anderson fought the Taskmaster in no contest because they had to fill some kind of time. Sting and Luger fought the Road Warriors to a double countout, so Sting and Luger fought twice that night. Flair defeated Randy Savage for the world title. And Hulk Hogan defeated the Giant in a steel cage match. Mr. Helene, I will be the tiebreaker if you guys split it. Mr. Helene, which show is better?
Well, I have Super Brawl 6 fresh in my mind. And I'm going to plug my own show here because I'm on Survey Says. And
great
right
show.
Now we're doing all the Super Brawls. And I think that one had the better show because I really love the DDP and the Johnny B. Badd match.
Okay, so there is a vote for Super Brawl 6. Nate, Super Brawl 6 or In Your House 6?
Well, just to let the listeners know how I'm going about making my decision, Brother Criscola, I've got three criteria for these February shows. Number one, biggest names. Number two, best in-ring work. And number three, they get bonus points for Black History Month content.
Fair enough, Nathaniel. Fair enough.
So going by those metrics, I think I'm going to have to give the nod to Super Bowl 6. You know, you got me with two Sting matches. Come on, man.
That is true.
I'm sold.
In Harlem Heat. So there you
go. In Harlem Heat. And Mark Merrow, who Marcus Vanderberg for the longest time thought was black.
Well, never mind. We thought was. It's more like a deep caramel. No, I'm only kidding. I'm not going there. Anyway, all right, so the clean sweep. I only break ties. So there you go, a sweep for Super Brawl 6. Okay, all right, not bad. Let's move ahead to 1990s. Now, I'm only doing WWF and WCW, but if anybody has it, if anybody knows of an EC, gentlemen, if you know of an ECW show in February that could fit in a vote, let me know. But I'm strictly sticking with WWF and WCW. Let's move ahead to 1997. In one corner, we have In Your House Final Four from Chattanooga. Your card, Mark Mero versus Leaf Cassidy. The Nation of Domination versus Bart Gunn, Goldust, and Flash Funk. Wow, there's a Black History Month match for you right there, Nate. Rocky Maivia defeated Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Furnace and LaFon defeated Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. And Bret Hart defeated Steve Austin, Vader with his eyeball hanging out of his head, and The Undertaker in the final in the Four Corners elimination match for the world title. In this corner, Super Brawl 7 from the Cow Palace in San Francisco. Your card, 6 defeated Dean Malenko for the Cruiserweight title. Conan, La Parca, and Viano 4, or was it Villano? Am I being too Italian? Viano 4 defeated Juventud Guerrera, Super Kalo, and Cyclope, whatever the hell. I never got his name right, in a six-man tag. Prince Iukea defeated Rey Mysterio Jr. in a singles match for the TV title. Diamond Dallas Page defeated Buff Bagwell by DQ. Eddie Guerrero defeated Chris Jericho for the U.S. title, he successfully defended it. Public Enemy defeated Harlem Heat and the Faces of Fear in a triple threat match. Jeff Jarrett defeated Steve McMichael. Chris Benoit defeated the Taskmaster in a San Francisco death match, which makes no sense because there's no death matches in San Francisco. They're too nice. Lex Luger and the Giant defeated the Outsiders for the tag titles, and Hollywood Hogan defeated Roddy Piper for the WCW Championship. Nate, which show is better?
My love for a Super Calo aside, I think I'm going to have to go WWF on this one.
Really?
I think I might have to go WWF on this one just for the simple fact that you gave me, what was it, Austin, Vader.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me Brett in a main event in 97. So, yeah, just on the strength of that match alone and Flash Funk, I think I might have to go WWF.
You wish you had that. You wish you had that fuzzy vest. clean sweep, Andy, or do I have to break a tie here?
I think I'm going to have to break a tie because it's really hard to rate a show that's got five matches against one that's got eight. But I really like that Super Brawl show a lot, so I have to go with that one.
Okay. First criteria, I discount any matches that have Buff Bagwell in them because they're not really matches. So if the Hogan-Flair match from Starrcade 96 was this match, I think I'd give the nod to this one.
Mm.
The triple threat tag is solid. Benoit Taskmaster, well, we all know what was going on there. But I'm going to have to break the tie, and I'm going to give the nod to Final Four. I think the crowd in that show was hot. The Final Four match is great. The Nation was at its zenith, so pre-rock. So I'm going to go with In Your House Final Four there. But it's okay, Andy. I might be picking other stuff later on. So, all right. So I think we're 1-1 right now. All right, let's go to 1998. And we actually have a third show in the mix, so we'll get to that one last. We'll start with WWF, who had No Way Out of Texas in Houston. Your card, the Headbangers defeated the artist formerly known as Goldust, or Tathcag, and Mark Mero. So we know where Nate's going with this one. Taka Michinoku defeated Pantera for the light heavyweight title. The Godwins defeated the Quebecers. Justin Bradshaw defeated Jeff Jarrett by DQ for the NWA North American made-up heavyweight title. Ken Shamrock, Ahmed Johnson, and the Disciples of Apocalypse defeated the Nation of Domination in a War of Attrition match. Kane defeated Vader, and Steve Austin, Owen Hart, Cactus Jack, and Chainsaw Charlie defeated Triple H, Savio Vega, and the New Age Outlaws in a non-sanctioned eight-man tag match. In this corner, Super Brawl 8 from San Francisco. Your card, Booker T defeated Rick Martel for the TV title, the match where Rick Martel blew his knee out. Then Booker defeated Saturn. So he won the TV title, then defended it in a combined 24 minutes and 46 seconds. Disco Inferno defeated La Parca. Goldberg defeated Brad Armstrong. Chris Jericho defeated Juve Guerrera in a title versus mask match for the WCW Cruiserweight title. British Bulldog defeated Steve Mongo McMichael. DDP defeated Chris Benoit to retain the U.S. title. Lex Luger defeated Randy Savage in a no DQ match. The Outsiders defeated the Steiners for the tag titles. That's when Scott Steiner turned heel. And finally, Sting defeated Hollywood Hogan for the vacant world title in the big rematch from Starrcade. But we have a third show in the mix. As that month, CyberSlam took place. CyberSlam 98 took place. The card, Jerry Lynn defeated Danny Doring. Al Snow defeated Tracy Smothers. Some guy named Chris Chetty. Stop It Modem defeated Doug Furness by pinfall. Lance Storm defeated Chris Candido. Taz defeated Brockus. Oh, I know what I'm voting for the ECW TV title. Justin Credible defeated Tommy Dreamer. Nicole Bass was there. Rest in peace. The Hardcore Chair Swinging Freaks, which was Axel Rotten and Balls Mahoney, and the Sandman defeated Spike Dudley and the Gangstonators, John Cronus and New Jack, and the Dudleys in a three-way tag. And finally, Shane Douglas and Bam Bam Bigelow defeated Rob Van Dam and Sabu. Mr. Milton, your vote?
I think if I'm going to ask this question of Nate back in 1998, I probably would have gone with ECW.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that was the promotion that might have had my attention, maybe even a little bit more so than WCW at the time. But going back and looking at it now with 2017 eyes, I think I might have to give the slight edge, and it's a real slight edge because I was really a fan of Booker T on that Super Brawl card, but I might get a slight edge to No Way Out.
Okay, No Way Out of Texas. Andy?
I'm going to go with No Way Out as well because that was one of the first tapes from the WWF that I bought. That wasn't like a $49.99 Coliseum video.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so a clean sweep. I was going to go with No Way Out of Texas as well. Again, just like in 97, they had to reboot the title match at Super Brawl, and that annoyed me, even though Sting did win, Nate. And that CyberSlam is pretty solid, but not that. If you haven't watched it in a while, throw in that No Way Out of Texas main event, that 8-man brawl. It was a lot of fun. I watched it recently. It was really good. The crowd was fucking nuclear. It really was. Highly recommend it if no one's watched it in a while. All right, so second one for WWE. Let's go to 1999. In this corner. Actually, one of my personal favorites of all time, the St. Valentine's Day Massacre from Memphis. Your card, Goldust defeated Blue Dust. Bob Holly defeated Al Snow for the hardcore title. That was that great card match where they were fighting along the Mississippi and they were hitting each other with pallet wood. Big Boss Man defeated Midian. Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett defeated Mark Henry and D'Lo to retain the tag titles. Val Venus defeated Ken Shamrock for the Intercontinental title with Billy Gunn as referee. That's the infamous match where Ken Shamrock clearly told Ryan Shamrock to slap him. The Corporation defeated D-Generation X in a tag team match. Mankind and The Rock ended in a last man standing match draw for the world title. And, of course, Steve Austin defeated Mr. McMahon in a steel cage match to determine the number one contender at WrestleMania 15. In this corner, Super Brawl 9, which took place at the Oakland Arena in Oakland, California. Your card. Booker T defeated Disco Inferno. Chris Jericho over Perry Saturn. Billy Kidman defeated Chavo Guerrero to retain the Cruiserweight title. Barry Windham and Kurt Hennig defeated Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko to win the vacant World Tag titles. The Outsiders defeated Conan and Rey Mysterio in a hair versus mask match. That's the match where Rey Mysterio unmasked. Scott Steiner defeated DDP for the TV title. Scott Hall defeated Roddy Piper to win the U.S. title. Goldberg defeated Bam Bam Bigelow. And Hollywood Hogan defeated Ric Flair for the world title. I don't believe there was an ECW show. No, there wasn't. There was a supercard, but not a pay-per-view in February of 99. So we have Super Brawl 9 versus St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Andy, your vote.
It is clearly St. Valentine's Day Massacre. No other vote.
No, I don't think there is either. But, Nate, to clear it up?
Yeah, I'd love to be the dissenting vote. And I also want to say, in terms of noting history, that ECW pay-per-view in 98 was the last February ECW show in terms of pay-per-view offering. So I guess they were like, we're one and done with Chris Chetty, man. So.
Because then the power went out. So
the power went out. So, Yeah, I mean, as much as I was a fan of WCW at the time, just for in-ring action and also historical relevance, you got to give it to St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Yeah, that was a tremendous show. One of my favorites. Okay. So, as expected, WWE doing pretty well. All right, 2000. I have a special love for this show because I was there. No Way Out 2000 from the Hartford Civic Center. My first ever pay-per-view, so I have a soft spot for this one for many reasons. Your card, Kurt Angle defeated Chris Jericho to win the Intercontinental title. Dudley Boyz defeated the New Age Outlaws to win the tag titles. Mark Henry defeated Viscera. Edge and Christian defeated the Hardy Boyz in a number one contenders match. Taz defeated the Big Boss Man by DQ. X-Pac defeated Kane in a no-holds-barred match. Too Cool defeated the Radicals in a six-man tag. Big Show defeated The Rock for the number one contender spot at WrestleMania. And Triple H defeated Cactus Jack in a Hell in a Cell match. In this corner, Super Brawl from the Cow Palace. Once again, your card. The artist formerly known as Prince Iukea defeated Lash LaRue. Do I really have to read any more? Brian Knobbs defeated Bam Bam Bigelow for the hardcore title. The first match was for the Cruiserweight. Three Count defeated Norman Smiley in a handicap match. The Wall defeated the Demon. Tank Abbott defeated Big Al in a leather jacket on a pole match. You could tell it was booking. Big T. Big T. Defeated Booker T. That was sad. Billy Kidman defeated Vampiro. The Mama Lukes defeated David Flair and Crowbar for the World Tag Titles in a Sicilian stretcher match. Ric Flair defeated Terry Funk in a Texas Death Match. Hulk Hogan defeated the Total Package in a singles match. And in the main event, Sid Vicious defeated Scott Hall and Jeff Jarrett in a triple threat for the World Title. Nate, your vote.
Yes, this is right in my wheelhouse or my bailiwick, if you will, because one of the shows that I do among the many is Keep It 2000 with Brian Mann, and we're currently going through every Monday Nitro in the year 2000, and so I'm well aware with the cast of characters you just read off. and so while I am a fan of the artist formerly known as Prince Iukea, and while I'm a fan of Screaming Norman Smiley, this show was just a mismatch of ideas. And it's funny that you were asking who's booking, given that jacket on the pole match, because this was right in that mushy period, right after Vince Russo left for good, at least until he came back in April. And Kevin Sullivan and a bunch of other people, along with Kevin Nash, kind of had their hands in the pot. And this is what you get. You get this mismatch of ideas that don't really excite the crowd, and it was a bad show. So I guess that's a long way of saying you got to give the edge to No Way Out 2000.
Okay, Andy.
The first couple shows that we did were really good WCW shows that were like hard to hard to choose WWF and WCW, but now we're in the really crappy years, so. Like every pay-per-view WWF had in 2000 was awesome. So I'm going with No Way Out.
Okay, so clean sweep. And I would have voted for that anyway because I was there and it was pretty awesome. And greatest heel heat by a fan ever. My girlfriend and I were probably the only two Triple H fans in the building. And when Mick got pinned, I had stuff thrown at me because I had the I had the freshly brand new Not for the Innocent Triple H t-shirt. And greatest heel heat of my life. I will never, ever forget it. All right, 2001. And this one, I mean, unless you're a blind man and WCW was a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest for this month because, well, let's read it. No Way Out 2001 from Las Vegas. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Maybe still to this day, although there's a couple of candidates, the greatest secondary pay-per-view of all time. Big Show defeated Raven for the hardcore title. Chris Jericho defeated Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, and X-Pac in a four-way for the Intercontinental title. Stephanie McMahon-Helmsley defeated Trish Stratus. Triple H defeated Stone Cold Steve Austin in a Three Stages of Hell. Steven Richards defeated Jerry Lawler. The Dudley Boyz defeated Edge and Christian and the Brothers of Destruction in a triple threat tables match for the world for the tag team titles. And The Rock defeated Kurt Angle for the world title. Super Brawl Revenge. Here we go. Shane Helms defeated Shannon Moore, Kaz Hayashi, Yun Yang, Jamie Noble, and Evan Courageous in an elimination match. Hugh Morris defeated The Wall. Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo defeated Mark Jindrak and Sean Stasiak for the tag titles. Chavo Guerrero defeated Rey Mysterio in the Cruiserweight title match. Rick Steiner defeated Dustin Rhodes for the to retain the U.S. title. Totally Buffed defeated Brian Adams in a handicap match. The Cat defeated Lance Storm. Chris Kanyon defeated DDP. DDP defeated Jeff Jarrett. And Scott Steiner defeated Kevin Nash in a retirement match for the world title. Mr. Milton, I don't think I don't think there's any question here.
No, but to be fair to WCW at the time, I think this is a show that was filled with a lot of young guys getting the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely a more fun show to watch, in my opinion, than the 2000 Super Brawl, which felt like the last legs of kind of the old guard. At least with 2001, we saw some fresh eyes. And Kaz Hayashi, a guy who, from doing this show, Keep It 2000, is somebody that I forgot how much I like this dude. Like, I think an opening match on Nitro one week, and it's like a 3-minute nothing match against Shane Helms. And Kaz Hayashi does a tope suicido and does a twist in the air, lands on one foot, and then screams something in Japanese. And I'm like, Kaz Hayashi is the greatest professional wrestler alive. So, you know, I give that Super Brawl 2001 card a lot of respect because it was kind of the young guys getting a shot, but in terms of the better show, it's not even close that it was No Way Out 2001.
Okay, yeah, it's still to this day easily one of the greatest, if not the greatest, secondary show of all time. There's a couple of other shows in WWF history that come close. I've always thought Vengeance 2005 is a pretty damn good show as well, but No Way Out 01 is pretty awesome. In fact, you can argue Royal Rumble, No Way Out, and WrestleMania 17, you'll never find a better three shows in a row any time ever in the history of the business. We've had that. JR and I have had that discussion on our show, and I think I've talked about it on this show as well. All right, for the next 3 years, WWF went
Hey, I get to vote.
Well, we don't really need your vote, Andy. No, I'm only kidding. Sorry about that. Well, let's put it this way, Andy. If you'd like to be on this show again, I don't think you'll vote for Super. No, I'm only kidding. No, I'm playing. Go ahead. What's your vote?
It's No Way Out.
See, yeah, I thought he was going to come with a compelling argument for Rick Steiner and Dustin Rhodes.
Okay. Sorry about that, Andy. My bad. Okay, so again, for the next 3 years, WWF is unopposed as WCW is in mothballs. So No Way Out 02 at the Bradley Center, highlighted, of course, by the NWO and Chris Jericho versus Steve Austin. Then No Way Out 03, which is an utter mess. I think any promotion could have come up with a better show than that up in Montreal. And then No Way Out 04 in San Francisco, of course, that was highlighted by the historic and heart-tugging victory by Eddie Guerrero for the WWE title over Brock Lesnar. Now we get to 2005, and guess what, gentlemen? We have competition again. But it is not from WCW, however. It is from TNA. Yes, TNA, which is why Nate is here. Besides blowing the internet, he's blowing it up. He is here to talk TNA. Now,
I was going to say, for phrasing.
Well, if you did that, you'd be an admit. No, I'm only kidding. All right, No Way Out 2005, which took place in Pittsburgh. Here is your card. Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio defeated the Bashams to win the tag titles. Booker T defeated Heidenreich by DQ. Chavo Guerrero won a Cruiserweight Open for the Cruiserweight title. The other contestants, Funaki, Paul London, Spike Dudley, Shannon Moore, and Akio. Undertaker defeated Luther Reigns. John Cena defeated Kurt Angle in a singles match to determine the number one contender for the WWE title at WrestleMania. That was a tournament. And then JBL defeated The Big Show in a barbed wire steel cage match for the WWE Championship. Meanwhile, in this corner, against all odds, 2005, from the Impact Zone, I think, right?
Yep.
Nowhere else would it be. Your card. Here we go. Elix Skipper defeated Petey Williams. BG James and Jeff Hammond defeated Michael Shane and Kazarian. Raven defeated Dustin Rhodes. America's Most Wanted defeated Kid Cash and Lance Hoyt for the NWA tag titles. Abyss defeated Jeff Hardy in a Full Metal Mayhem match for the number one contender. DDP and Monty Brown defeated Team Canada in a tag match. AJ Styles defeated Christopher Daniels 2-1 in a 30-minute Iron Man match for the TNA X Division title. And Jeff Jarrett defeated Kevin Nash for the NWA World title. Andy, your vote.
You said AJ Styles, right?
Yes.
For Daniels?
Yes.
Anytime you guys you get them on a show against each other, I got to go with that one.
Okay, a vote for against all odds. Nate.
This is an interesting one because I think this is really close because you've got TNA who is ascending but not quite at their peak, but you've also got a WWE product that is, I'm not going to say cold, but they've certainly become a little bit dulled by the lack of competition.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I love that AJ Daniels match, and I think that one match is probably better than anything on the WWE show. Plus, they've got Fire Delta Slam, which were a pretty marginal tag team, but I just like watching Trinity bring them to the ring, so I had to mention that. But overall, I think I might give a very, very slight edge to the WWE on this one, but this is a sign of things to come, man. TNA is at this stage of the game, TNA is on the rise, on the come up.
Okay, I got to break the tie. Oof. I just watched No Way Out 05 last week, and I'm going to go with Andy. I think I like Against All Odds. I think it's really hard to vote against AJ, and plus I'm a Jeff Jarrett mark, which I have to be if I'm a Triple H one too. So I'm going to go with Against All Odds 05. So TNA fires the first shot in the main event wars.
All right.
With a win. How about that, Nate? Feeling good about yourself, huh? Well,
yeah, even though I didn't vote for it, I can't argue that choice, man. That AJ Daniels match is great, and I think it's a theme that we're going to hit on in the next couple years.
Okay. I agree. Let's go to the next year, 2006. We had No Way Out 06 from Baltimore. Gregory Helms wins another Cruiserweight Open for the Cruiserweight title. The other participants, Brian Kendrick, Kid Cash, Psychosis, Super Crazy, Nunzio, Paul London, Funaki, and Scotty Tuhati. JBL defeated Bobby Lashley. Matt Hardy and Tatanka, if it was Pat Tanaka, not bad, defeated Eminem in a tag match. Chris Benoit defeated Booker T for the U.S. title. Randy Orton defeated Rey Mysterio for the number one contender slot. And Kurt Angle defeated The Undertaker in a fantastic World Heavyweight title match. In this corner, Against All Odds 2006, your card. The Naturals defeated Austin Aries and Roderick Strong. Jay Lethal defeated Matt Bentley Matt Bentley, Alex Shelley, and Petey Williams in a four-way match. The James Gang defeated the Latin American Exchange, LAX, in a tag match. America's Most Wanted defeated Chris Sabin and Sanjay Dutt for the tag titles. Rhino defeated Abyss in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Samoa Joe defeated AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels in a three-way dance for the X Division title. Oh, boy. Team 3D defeated Team Canada in a tag match. Can never vote against Bobby Roode, though. And finally, Christian Cage defeated Jeff Jarrett for the NWA World title. This one might be pretty tough, guys. Two pretty solid cards, both with positives, both with negatives. Nate, your vote.
I am going with Against All Odds on this one because I think you've got a couple really standout matches. I think the three-way, while not as good as their three-way that they would have it Unbreakable, between Joe Daniels and Styles. This was a good match. You know, I think I want to say it only went about 15, 16 minutes. So if it had gotten a little more time, maybe it would have reached the levels that they reached at Unbreakable. But the main event here, no pun intended, was Christian Cage. Because I think people forget how big a deal he was when he came to TNA. You know, he was one of the first WWE guys that it seemed like he came to TNA under his own volition and not because he got kicked out of WWE. And so it was a big deal for him coming to the company, a big deal for him winning the world title. So I want to go with Against All Odds in this one.
Okay. Andy.
This one is really tough because I remember that Kurt Angle and Undertaker match was like awesome, wasn't it? Like
29-38. And I remember the first like 3 and 4 minutes was a little slow. And I was like, oh, God, this is bad. And then for something happened when they were on the outside, a switch flipped, and the next 24 minutes were awesome. Yeah, that's a great match.
But I think I have to go with Against All Odds because there's another AJ and Daniels and Joe match. And then, yeah, you had Christian Cage. I remember watching like TNA a lot during this time because I think that's when they went over to Spike, right?
Yep.
Wow. TNA is 2 for 2.
One
more for the good guys. One more for Puppet. So, and we haven't had any cheeks yet, which would really make every show great. all right. Let us now move on to 2007. And this No Way Out in L.A., which, by the way, was the last single-branded pay-per-view until Backlash this past September. Then there was WrestleMania 23, and then starting with Backlash 07, even though there were two brands and two different sets of belts, they only did one pay-per-view a month. So they just did, well, you know, mushed them together. So, your card for No Way Out 07. Chris Benoit and the Hardy Boys defeated MVP and Eminem in a six-man. Chavo defeated Gregory Helms. Third straight February, we had a Cruiserweight Open. This time, Chavo defeated Gregory Helms. By the way, Gregory Helms won the title in a Cruiserweight Open and lost the title in a Cruiserweight Open. The other participants, Gregory Helms, Scotty Tuhati, Daivari, Funaki, Shannon Moore, Jimmy Wang Yang, and Jamie Noble. Finley and Little Bastard defeated Boogie and Little Boogie. Kane defeated King Booker. Paul London and Brian Kendrick defeated Deuce and Domino. Mr. Kennedy defeated Bobby Lashley by disqualification. And in the main event, John Cena and Shawn Michaels defeated Batista and The Undertaker. Meanwhile, against all odds, 2007. Here's your card. Also at the Impact Zone. The LAX defeated Team 3D in a Little Italy street fight. Senshi defeated Austin Starr. Christy Hemme defeated Big Fat Oily Guy in a tuxedo match. I don't remember that whatsoever. Lance Hoyt defeated Dale Torborg in a base brawl match. AJ Styles defeated Rhino in a Motor City chain match. Chris Sabin defeated Jerry Lynn in a singles match for the X Division title. James Storm and Jacqueline Moore defeated Petey Williams and Gail Kim in a mixed tag. Sting defeated Abyss in a prison yard match. And in the main event, Christian Cage defeated Kurt Angle to retain the world title. Nate, your vote.
Against all odds, 07 was a mixed bag, to say the least, man. You mentioned that Christy Hemme, Big Fat Oily Guy match that you don't remember. I have nightmares about this at night, just seeing this stupid match that really did not fit within the concept of the show. And then, you know, you throw in that Lance Hoyt, Dale Torborg match. That was terrible. But the good for me outweighs the bad on this show. I remember that liking that Chris Sabin, Jerry Lynn match a whole lot. The Christian Cage, Kurt Angle match, obviously that can't be anything but good. Sting Abyss wasn't to the level of some of the matches they would have later, but it was a solid match. And then the match that maybe was the biggest surprise to me was the James Storm, Jacqueline, Petey Williams, Gail Kim mixed tag match. Because I want to say that's the bull rope match they had. And that was a innovative match where they did a really good job of using the bull rope, coming up with some pretty cool spots. So I really like this show. In terms of the WWE offering, I think this might have been the time where I was still watching WWE, but it was quickly becoming clear that TNA was my brand of choice at the time. There was nothing really, not that the wrestling was bad, but the storylines really weren't gripping me. So in lieu of that, I went to TNA where the storylines were a little bit half-baked, if baked at all, but the wrestling was generally better. So I'll give the slight edge to TNA on this one.
Okay. Andy?
You had said we were going to be doing like a scorecard, and so during the break, I went on Wikipedia real fast to look up all the TNA cards that were in February.
Mm-hmm.
And I read Big Fat Oily Guy, and I laughed like really, really loud, and I didn't know if you guys had heard me or not. But I don't really remember this show that much, but I got to go with TNA just for Big Fat Oily Guy.
I can't believe it. TNA is 3 for 3. Who's winning the war? Who's winning the war? Oh, my God. Wow. All right.
Don't worry. It won't last.
Well, let's go to the following year. No Way Out 2008 from Vegas. Your card. Chavo Guerrero defeated CM Punk to retain the ECW title. The Undertaker defeated Batista, Finlay, MVP, The Great Khali, and Big Daddy V in an Elimination Chamber match, number one contenders, match chamber for the World Heavyweight title. Ric Flair defeated Mr. Kennedy in a career-threatening match. Edge defeated Rey Mysterio to retain the world title. John Cena defeated Randy Orton by disqualification for the WWE title. And Triple H defeated Jeff Hardy, Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Umaga, and JBL in a chamber match for a WWE title match at WrestleMania 24. So both chambers in 08 were number one contenders matches. Against All Odds 2008 from the Impact Zone, AJ Styles and Tomko defeated BG James and Bob Armstrong in a tag team match for the TNA World Titles. This was James' Feast or Fired title opportunity. Tracy Brooks defeated Peyton Banks. Scott Steiner defeated Petey Williams in a winner-take-all singles match for Scott Steiner's TNA X Division and Petey Williams' TNA World Heavyweight Feast or Fired Championship matches. Eric Young defeated James Storm in a singles match for the TNA World Beer Drinking Championship. Okay. Awesome Kong defeated ODB for the women's knockout title. Abyss defeated Judas Macias. Is it Macias or Messias?
I always pronounced it as Messias, but it might be Macias.
I don't know. Either way, it was a barbed wire massacre match. Abyss beat him. Booker T defeated Robert Roode. I'm sorry, that match ended in a double countout singles match. Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns defeated Johnny Devine and Team 3D in a, oh Jesus, look at this whole description, in a six-man tag team street fight for the X Division Championship. Had Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns won, Team 3D would have been forced to work under a weight limit. What? And had Devine and Team 3D won, the TNA X Division would disassemble. Since Lethal got the pin, he became X Division Champion. What the frig? And Kurt Angle defeated Christian Cage in a singles match for the TNA World title with Samoa Joe as the special outside enforcer. I don't even understand this show. Nate, your vote.
Yeah, this is where the streak ends for me, at least for now, because the issue with this show was not the wrestling so much, but it was what you just read, you know, in terms of some of the descriptions of the matches and the stipulations. It felt very convoluted. You know, this was a time where I think TNA had, you know, a couple years of momentum and they were building, and I think people were getting behind them. This might have been the time where you started to hear TNA chants at Raw shows. And so it's like, man, if you got something good, don't screw it up by trying to get too cute. And I think this is where TNA tried to get a little too cute on this show. But on the other hand, you flip over to the No Way Out from that year, and I remember really digging the Edge Rey Mysterio feud. And I think this was the lead up to the Ric Flair HBK match.
Correct.
Yes. So yeah, I loved what they were doing with Ric Flair at the time, where every match his career was on the line. So I'm going to give this nod to the WWE.
Okay, Andy.
TNA, reading those cards on Wikipedia, was almost like trying to remember stuff when you wake up after having like a really bad nightmare.
This card, this show sounded like a nightmare.
Especially nightmare, because I think this is when Dustin Rhodes was like a big zebra looking guy. I think he was teaming up with that Judas.
You mean Relic, which is killer spelled backwards? Get it, guys?
Chris Chetty. God.
No Way Out show, I didn't actually watch at the time. I bought like the DVD like later. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away by like both of the chamber matches because I thought, whatever, the SmackDown one, I don't really like any of those guys. But it was awesome. And then the Raw one was awesome too, because I haven't watched the show in a while, but I remember a spot where Umaga, he had some people up on his back. I think he had HBK and like Jericho on his back, like for like a Samoan drop, and he hit them both at the same time. So like that gets the win. Is the No Way Out show with the chambers, because you can't really top that. Two really good chambers. I don't really remember anything else happening, but
yeah, no, those chambers were good. Well, that also started the. That was when Money Mayweather came out and he popped Big Show in the nose and, and busted his nose. So yeah, any paper since WrestleMania 9. Vegas is like a haven for awesome pay-per-views, it seems like. So,
I've got a quick correction, because we want to be factual here, Brother Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Relic was not Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes was Black Reign, whose tag team partner was Relic. Relic, fun fact, folks, was portrayed by Johnny the Bull Stamboli.
Oh, right. That's right. I totally forgot about that. Black Rain. they should have just called him Seven again, or Eight. My name's Seven. All right. So a win there for WWE. Finally, they get back into the race for the best promotion. all right. No Way Out 09. This one from, where the hell was this show? I think it was in St. Louis. Am I right? No, Seattle. Your card. Triple H wins an Elimination Chamber match for the WWE title. In it was Edge, The Undertaker, The Big Show, Jeff Hardy, and Vladimir Kozlov. Randy Orton defeated Shane McMahon in a no-holds-barred match. Jack Swagger defeated Finlay to retain the ECW title. Shawn Michaels defeated JBL in a singles match, which broke him from his contract, whatever the hell it was. And Edge won the World Heavyweight Championship in an Elimination Chamber with John Cena, Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho, Mike Knox, and Kane. And of course, that was the that was when Edge jumped Kofi Kingston and took his spot. So Edge ended the start of the night with one belt and ended the match, ended the show with another belt. Meanwhile, Against All Odds 2009 from the Impact Zone. Your card: Alex Shelley defeated Eric Young to retain the X Division title. Scott Steiner defeated Petey Williams. Brutus Magnus defeated Chris Sabin. Awesome Kong defeated ODB to retain the Knockout title. Two straight years they wrestle, right? Booker T defeated Shane Sewell for the TNA Legends title, or retained it. Abyss defeated Matt Morgan. Beer Money, yeah, baby, defeated Lethal Consequences for the TNA to retain the TNA tag titles. And Sting defeated Kurt Angle, Brother Ray, and Brother Devon in a fatal four-way for the TNA World title. Andy, your vote.
I remember being into both promotions at the time. And 09, like Rumble 09 was the first pay-per-view I'd bought in like 5 years. But I really liked this period. But I think I have to go with No Way Out because the chamber matches were good.
Mm.
Okay. Nate?
This is a tough one because I'm not really high on either show. For those that aren't aware of their TNA history, I believe this was in the midst of the TNA Frontline versus the Main Event Mafia feud. Mm-hmm. The less said about that, the better. There was still some good wrestling on the show. I think Abyss and Matt Morgan had a surprisingly good match on this show. And as big a Sting fan as I am, this was not one of his better TNA matches. So, yeah, again, the tide has seemed to turn. So I'm going to give the nod to the WWE.
Okay. So a sweep for No Way Out 09. All right. In 2010, we get rid of No Way Out for a few years, and it's the last one in February. And the Elimination Chamber officially has the title of the pay-per-view. The 2010 show took place, I think this one was in St. Louis, if I remember correctly. Yes, it was. This one was in St. Louis. Your card. John Cena won an Elimination Chamber match for the world title. He defeated Sheamus, Triple H, Randy Orton, Teddy DiBiase Jr., and Kofi Kingston. But then Batista came out and beat Cena in 30 seconds, thanks to Mr. McMahon. Drew McIntyre defeated Kane to retain the Intercontinental title. Lay Cool defeated Maryse and Gail Kim in a tag match. The Miz defeated Montel Vontavious Porter for the to retain the U.S. title. And Chris Jericho won in the chamber match for the world title, defeating The Undertaker, John Morrison, R-Truth, CM Punk, and Rey Mysterio. And, of course, that's when Shawn Michaels came through the ring and super kicked Taker to bait him into having another match at WrestleMania. In this corner, Against All Odds 2010. Now, of course, this is when Hogan and Bischoff came. They had the big, remember the big Raw and the Raw Impact night in January? Your card. It is the 8-card stud tournament. Okay. First round matches. D'Angelo De Niro defeated Desmond Wade. I'm sorry, Desmond Wolfe. Desmond Wade played for Fairfield. Matt Morgan defeated Hernandez. Mr. Anderson defeated Kurt Angle. Abyss defeated Mick Foley in a no DQ match in the first round of the tournament. Nasty Boys defeated Team 3D. In the semifinals, D'Angelo De Niro defeated Matt Morgan, and Mr. Anderson defeated Abyss. AJ Styles defeated Samoa Joe in a no DQ match for the world title with Eric Bischoff as guest ref. This was Joe's Feast or Fired title match. And D'Angelo De Niro defeated Mr. Anderson to win the 8-card stud tournament. Nate, your vote.
Before I give my ruling on this, I gotta say, man, I think this is around the time where there was still a little bit of optimism left, but for those that knew their history, they knew that the Hogan Bishop thing was not going to be beneficial in the long run.
No.
And so this was a good show. Like, I think the Pope had a really good showing on this card. His opening match with Desmond Wolfe or Nigel McGuinness was one of the hidden gems on this one. AJ and Joe can't have a bad match. It's impossible. But for the most part, the good stuff for me was not – I can't say that it was overwhelmed, but it was certainly counterbalanced by the bad. And that's the damn Nasty Boys taking up TV time in 2010. You know, it's starting to see – The friends with benefits of Hulk Hogan. That probably came out worse than I wanted to say it. But those friends were coming in and getting spots that should have been going to some of the younger guys and some of the TNA originals. So while I think this was not a bad show, it certainly was kind of that, I got a bad feeling about this type of show. And so putting it up against the Elimination Chamber, I don't even think it's close. I give the nod to the Elimination Chamber on this one.
Okay. Andy?
Yeah, the Nasty Boys and a Team 3D, that match really weighs down that show. If it wasn't for that tag match, I might have given this one on my vote, but I got to go with the Chamber again.
Okay.
Chamber matches were good, so I guess, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was definitely the Shawn coming through the ring was, I remember that being pretty cool. So
yeah.
And wasn't this one Punk? He was like on a hot streak at the start of the match and he was like commentating or something while he was.
No, this was the one where he got stuck, or was that 2010? Which was where we got stuck in the, that must have been 2010. Yeah. The one where he got stuck in the pod, or was that 2011? Now I don't remember. You might be right. I think this one I'm about to talk about is the one where he got stuck in the pod.
Yeah.
I think this is the one if I look at the guys in it. This was it. Yep, it was this one. All right, Elimination Chamber. We go down to 2011. We go to the Chamber. This one was in, I think this was in Oakland. Yes, it was in Oakland. All right, your card. Alberto Del Rio defeated Kofi Kingston. Edge won the Elimination Chamber for the world title. He successfully defended it against Rey Mysterio, Kane, Drew McIntyre, Big Show, and Wade Barrett. The Core, defeated Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov to win the tag team titles, the blue belts. Well, I guess it was only one title belts. The Miz defeated Jerry Lawler to retain the WWE Championship. And John Cena wins a chamber match for the title shot at WrestleMania against CM Punk, John Morrison, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and R-Truth. Yes, that is the one where Punk got stuck, and then Orton RKO'd him, but then the anonymous GM allowed Punk to go back in. That was one of the few anonymous GM things that was actually cool. In the other corner, against all odds, 2011 from the Impact Zone. Your card. Robbie E. defeated Generation Me by forfeit in a three-way match to determine the number one contender for the X Division title. Kazarian defeated Robbie E to retain the TNA X Division title. Beer Money and Scott Steiner defeated Immortal in a six-man tag. Rob Terry, Gunner, and Murphy. Samoa Joe defeated D'Angelo De Niro by submission, the Pope. Madison Rayne defeated Mickie James in a last knockout standing match to retain the women's title. Rob Van Dam defeated Matt Hardy. Bully Ray defeated Brother Devon in a street fight. Jeff Jarrett defeated Kurt Angle in a singles match. Since Jarrett won, Angle must give Karen Jarrett away at her wedding. Had Angle won, he would get sole custody of his kids. But isn't that about 6 years old from Eddie and Ray? And finally, Jeff Hardy defeated Mr. Anderson in a ladder match for the TNA Championship. Andy, your vote.
I'm going with WWE again. Because I think that that one was the SmackDown Chamber where he had Drew McIntyre going on like a big run.
Yes, I was a big Drew McIntyre guy in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, Nate?
Well, first I do want to give some credit to Jeff Hardy because this was when he was in the midst of his heel run. And I know that's a run that a lot of people didn't like or don't give respect to, but I was always a fan of heel Jeff Hardy, you know, coming to the ring in the suits, smoking cigarettes, singing his own theme song with the belt that he designed straight out of his own imagination.
Oh, that weird purple one with all the weird shit. Yeah, I remember that belt.
Yeah, I was a fan of the character. I dug it, even though I didn't dig a whole lot about TNA at this time because, again, we're in the midst of Hogan and Bischoff, and there were some good matches on here. Jarrett and Angle had a really strong match. Like they might have had the program of the year for TNA, those two guys. But there was a lot of filler on this show. Like I don't ever need to see Gunnar and Murphy. If I see another Gunnar and Murphy match, it'll be too soon. Rob Terry, I'm sure he's a nice guy and a hell of a stand-up citizen, but I was not a big fan of Rob Terry. So there's a lot of filler on this card. But on the other hand, with the WWE show, man, this was a fun time for me. This is when I think WWE was starting to get a little bit more interesting because you had a good mix of veterans, guys that had been around for a little while, but also some up-and-coming guys. And so I think that mix worked well for them at the time. And so, yeah, I give the nod to the WWE on this one.
Okay. I like that chamber too, actually. Both of them were good. And again, the one where Punk was stuck in the thing was actually pretty good drama as well. And now finally, 2012, as this is the last, I think it's the last February pay-per-view for TNA, so this is it. Here we go. From Milwaukee, the 2012 Elimination Chamber. CM Punk went in as champ, went out as champ in his chamber match with The Miz, Chris Jericho, Kofi Kingston, Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth. Beth Phoenix beat Tamina Snuka to retain the Divas title. Daniel Bryan won his chamber match against Santino Marella, Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Big Show, and Great Khali. So they both went in as champ and both went out as champ in their chamber matches. Jack Swagger defeated Justin Gabriel to retain the U.S. title. And John Cena defeated Kane in an ambulance match. That was the show a lot of people made a big stink of because they thought one of the two chambers should have been last instead of that terrible ambulance match. And then finally, Against All Odds 2012, from the Impact Zone, your card. Zema Ion defeated Jesse Sorensen in a number one contenders match for the X Division title. That was the match. Didn't Jesse Sorensen break his neck? I think Zema Ion's knee, he kneed him in the neck or something. Yep. Robbie E defeated Shannon Moore for the TNA television title. There was a TNA television title. Gail Kim defeated Tara to retain the knockout title. Samoa Joe and Magnus defeated Crimson and Matt Morgan to win the TNA tag titles. Austin Aries defeated Alex Shelley by submission for the X Division title. Kazarian defeated AJ Styles. Gunnar defeated Garrett Bischoff. And in the main event, Bobby Roode defeated Bully Ray, James Storm, and Jeff Hardy in a four-way match for the TNA world title. Sting was the special guest ringside enforcer. Andy, your vote.
I actually liked TNA in 2012, but it was kind of a little too late. But I also liked a lot in WWE. Like, I really liked Santino. That's the show with the drama where you thought he might win. He might have a chance. But I think I got to go with TNA.
Okay. Nate?
I, too, am going with TNA just for the simple fact that while both cards had their hits and misses, there wasn't anything that I disliked as much on Against All Odds as that ambulance match. And so that really knocks down WWE's offering for me. But another thing is you had a couple really good matches. The Aries-Shelley match was really solid. The Kaz-AJ match was good. And this was maybe the last bit of greatness that this feud would have before we got the introduction of the infamous Claire Lynch.
That's right.
This was back when the big theory was Stockholm Syndrome. That's the reason Kaz had turned his back on AJ. Also, the Gail Kim match, the women's match with Tara, that was a solid match. And Samoa Joe and Magnus somehow found a way to get a good match out of Crimson and Matt Morgan. So all that being said, despite the fact that we did have to sit through a Garrett Bischoff singles match, I'm going to give a slight nod to Against All Odds.
Wow. I love the reason the chamber match upsets me is after watching it today, is that that was the show that is a perfect evidence of why Punk was pissed off because mm-hmm. both him and Daniel Bryan had the two main titles and walked into Elimination Chambers with them and walked out with their belts, and neither of their matches were the main event. Meanwhile, the main event had to be a throwaway trash ambulance match that had nothing to do with anything. You're telling me that Cena and Kane couldn't be in the middle of this show, and either Punk or Daniel Bryan couldn't have ended the show with them winning their, you know, retaining their championships. That just annoyed me.
It was a match based off of a bad angle to begin with from Raw.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, what's his name? Because it was with Eve Torres and
Zack Ryder.
And Zack Ryder got pissed off. And it was fucking stupid. Absolutely stupid. So what is our final tally, Nate?
All right, we had 14 available shows that went head-to-head in one way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
And the final tally, WCW comes out with one win. TNA, maybe the most surprising thing of all,
mm-hmm.
comes out with four wins.
Wow.
And the WWF/WWE obviously takes away the top prize with nine wins.
With nine wins. But four wins for TNA and three in a row.
Yeah.
Out of the gate, 05, 06, 07, which doesn't totally surprise me because that was kind of the black hole for a bit while John Cena was getting his feet wet, you know, getting his feet under him before taking over. So, and then TNA had a chance and they blew it. So,
and that was really, you know, if I can give my hot take on a cold issue.
Cold oatmeal? Oh, wait, never mind.
Like that's where, man, that if you're a TNA fan, and I know there's still some of them out there, I will be your leader in this resistance. That is where, you know, you kind of just shake your head. You know, this is a company that had plenty of momentum from the end of 04 till maybe the beginning of 08. They had so much momentum. They had great matches. You had AJ and Daniels and Joe doing their thing. You had Buzz because, like you said, the WWE was at a down point and people were looking for alternatives. But because of one man, Vince Russo, I mean, it's not fair to say it's one guy's fault. But in this case, I think the lion's share of the blame has to go to Vince Russo. They squandered a really cool opportunity that I think could have benefited the business in the long run.
Any thoughts, Andy?
I agree, because I really got into TNA, like I said, like in 06, and I really loved the LAX and AJ and like Daniels feud, and I was really looking forward to Angle, but then, I don't know, that Sting and Abyss feud, it just really like killed everything for me, and I think there was even like some kind of floating casket match on one of those shows that was like so terrible.
Oof.
And pretty soon you get Samoa Joe leading a group of ninjas and kidnapping people's girlfriends and fighting with the Pope over some dogs. Like, come on, man.
And it's so upsetting because, you know me, guys, gigantic Bobby Roode mark, and this was his long stretch as TNA world champion. I think he won it at Bound for Glory 11. I think he held it till Slammiversary or so. He held it for a while.
They had that great feud with him and James Storm. Yep. Yeah, and again, you talk about missed opportunities during that Samoa Joe Pope feud. The sidekick to the Pope was Okada, and it's like, man, you've got one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, and this is what you have him playing some stupid Green Hornet pastiche.
Like Sato and the Pink Panther.
Yes.
So bad. Well, guys, this was a lot of fun. Technical problems aside, it was a blast. I enjoyed it. I'm glad we were able to do this. And we're going to try to do this. We won't do it for Mania because we've got plenty of WrestleMania content we'll be having on PlaceMeNation.com. But maybe I'll do this in April for like April pay-per-views like Backlash versus other stuff. Maybe we'll do that. That'll be a lot of fun too. Guys, be a pleasure. Mr. Helene, thank you. Always good to have you on. You'll definitely be back on again. In fact, I'm trying to collect a gigantic round table for the WrestleMania preview. So if you're around, you're more than welcome to join. When is the next survey says?
I had some issues, but part two of our Super Brawl run-through is supposed to be up in early March.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Check it out. Survey Says. For those that are unfamiliar, tell a little bit. Tell the listeners what Survey Says. What the basis of it is for those that may not know.
It's Tim Capel, who's been around the place for a while. Him and I, we look back at like various aspects of WCW. Like we've done an episode on theme music, and then we did one on all the Starcades, and now we're doing it on Super Brawl. So we kind of pick a pay per view or like a wrestler to get into, and we always have a guest on with us too.
Oh, that's outstanding. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Survey Says on PlacementNation.com. Nate, you sucker. You're awesome as always. And I'll see you at Halloween. No. you, of course, my friend, we'll hear from you next week for the next episode of Clotheslines and Headlines. You and my man JR and Mr. Willie, you will preview Fastlane. And you have an open seat as well to the WrestleMania preview special. You could be on back-to-back nights. Because I'll probably record it then that Thursday, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Nate, tell us a little other stuff going on. Obviously, Clotheslines and Headlines. What else is going on?
There's so much going on. I am the Chris Chetty of podcasts.
you shut them all down.
A hard act to follow. But yes, in addition to Clothesline and Headlines, which is the brother show to the main event, I've got the Kings of Sport, which is coming up on our fourth anniversary, our 4-year anniversary.
Oh, that's awesome.
Coming up in March. Thank you, brother. It's myself and Marcus Vandenberg from Yahoo Sports. And so on this week's episode, we're going to be talking some NBA news. Mm-hmm. Of course, Marcus being a big Laker fan, there was a lot of turnover there.
Join the club. You really? I didn't know Marcus was a Laker. That's right, he is.
Yep.
Oh, man,
yep.
You got to get me on. Oh, God, we got to wax nostalgic about, I've been a fan of the Forum Blue and gold. Get it right. Marcus and I know that. It's not purple. It's Forum Blue. But, a lot of turnover in Westwood. That's right. Big time.
So this week, I think Marcus is going to be having a celebration for the demise of the Jim Buss era.
Big time. Well, it was a long time coming, I guess.
So we got that coming up on the King Sport. Also, we're starting our Road to WrestleMania series with our first guest, I believe, is going to be Mike Mills, who is the host of Booking the Territories, and he's also a contributor for Pro Wrestling Torch. So we got that. We've got the aforementioned Keep It 2000, which is myself and former WWE writer Brian Mann, taking on the task that nobody asked for but everybody enjoys of watching WCW Monday Nitro from the year 2000. We got plenty of Big T hot takes for those folks out there who want to know what Ahmed Johnson got up to when he left the WWE.
Weight-wise? Or?
Oh, man. Like on our last episode, we got into about a five-minute discussion on Ahmed Johnson walking around backstage with a jug of milk. So that's a little teaser for the folks out there.
That's fantastic.
And then my last show that has nothing to do with pro wrestling is Always Forward. It's a Luke Cage review podcast with myself and Ephraim Guzman, and we are down to the last three episodes. And,
great show.
We're, I believe, a couple of our last guests reviewing the Netflix series Luke Cage are going to be Alex Greenfield, former WWE writer, and we're hoping to get Ben Morris.
I know that guy.
Be family. Hoping to get Ben because Ben Morris makes everything better. So we're trying to get him on for our final episode. He's
a busy man.
It's a lot of demands. A lot of
that's right. Items. It is. That's right. It is. Now I love Ben to death. I don't call and just anybody my favorite person on the planet. But I love Luke Cage. You know, you guys got to wrap that up because Iron Fist will be starting up soon. So
yep. Looking forward to that as well.
Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Four. Oh, my voice is going. My Skype's going. Let's just get out of here. There's a Chetty host next time. For Andy Helene and Nate Milton, I'm Scott Criscola. You've been in the main event. Enjoy Fastlane, and we will recap it in 2 weeks. Enjoy. How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here, take